Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you, Jonathan, our worship band, our chorale, and Zachary. And for you, the greatest choir is you. It's scary when I think of myself as being a member of this greatest choir. But when I see myself in light of you, when I hear my voice with your voice, I feel okay. That's how we can live our lives. Faith enables us to live life as things happen. And the Psalms are a word description of people in a rough and tumble world, caught in the midst of life's swift turns. In order for us to see how we may live in light of God. So in the message series that C-Mac and I have been leading us through in our worship time, has been looking at the Psalms and letting the scriptures of God's inspired word speak an inspiration into our lives so that we may be the people of courage and faith that we want to be, that we may be the best version of ourselves in a world that is not the best version of God's hope. That we then may become God's hope, speaking his message within our hurting world. The Psalms are an amazing faith description, a word description of how we may live our life dynamically in this crazy time. The psalmist who wrote the words and the prayers and the songs that we look at the biggest book in the Bible, is themselves were struggling of how to understand who they are in light of God in the times in which they were meeting. There was that disconnect that this is really how life is supposed to be. And God says, I am who I am. And regardless of whatever is happening around you. And that my power of who I am can speak the word of authority over your circumstances. And the psalmist frequently will say, really? You can do that? Really, I can do that in light of you? And most of the Psalms end up catching the rhythm of the faith, catching to say, I get it. And they may do so with anger, they may do so with grief, lament, they may do so with praise and thanksgiving, they may do so in the looking for the wisdom and the teaching. The Psalms are that description of faith, speaking to life as it is, in order to make it as God can be. Amen. So in Psalms 180, A 118 today, is how it is that God's steadfast love and God's steadfast good character can speak the promise of his presence on the pathways by which we have to travel through in the problems of our life. That's the promise of the message today. It opens with the words of God showing a goodness of an eternal love, enabling us to entrust our future to God. To know that there are forces in the world that want you to be fearful of the future, and we can understand that. We all feel it sometimes in our own body. We feel it carrying it in our bones, and then God speaks to us, wait, see the future in light of who I am and my love for you, and let that be your confidence as you go forward. And then we kind of catch our breath, and we say, okay, bring on the future, because God is the God of today, the God who has made the best of yesterday, and the God who is going to shape for tomorrow. That's why the psalmist opens and closes this great chapter that Ken and Brenda read for us with the same verse. It opens and closes with, say it with me, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Together again, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This bookends, called a chiasm in Hebrew, is a description that here's what the greatest truth is, and everything between the first and the last verse that speaks the same words in the closing as were given in the opening says, now these are the experiences of life. I have found this to be true. I threw out my faith, trusting it would be true, lived through these circumstances, and indeed it's what unfolded. This Thursday, not only America, but many nations of the world will be recalling the beginning of the end of World War II. It is June 6th. It is D-Day. It's the 75th anniversary of that epic battle that turned the tide of World War II on the continent of Europe and brought freedom to regions in the world. Robert G. Cole was 29 years old when, as a paratrooper in the 81st Airborne, went behind the lines of the opening barrage on Utah Beach. 75 others who also parachuted in that fateful day survived the landing. And once he got his parachute together, came back to the beach, greeted another gathering of soldiers on the beach, and they headed their way east towards the liberation of lifting Europe over the evil and the shadow of Hitler's Third Reich. And it was tough going the whole way. He was 29 years old, had a wife and a 2-year-old child. He was born in Fort Sam Houston, just a couple of miles to our east. He left from World War II from Fort Sam Houston. So we are the one of 13 churches across America on Thursday afternoon whose bell chimes will be chiming in memory of this historic day. We're the church in San Antonio chiming our bells in a memory of Robert G. Cole, that in the power of the promise of God, that we have not forgotten what has made it possible for us to experience the freedom that we have today. The God of yesterday, who saw us through the problems and by answering them with his promise, is the God who is with us today, taking us through our problems in light of the promise, and whose presence has gone into tomorrow to see a future. That's exactly what the psalmist is getting at. And so the cluster of truths within this great psalm come together in three ways. First is pay attention. Pay attention, and then you will see that God's love endures forever. Are you paying attention? When you're paying attention, are you seeing what you are able to see? Are you taking in what is there to be received? Are you getting the messages that a sunrise in the east is providing for us from 93 million miles away, 8 minutes after the delivery from the star of the sun, getting to Earth with just the right temperature? Okay, in San Antonio, we may say we get a little too much in our summertime, but it's an amazing miracle of the sun's delivery of its rays to Earth. And we see because of what the sun provides. But because of the risen Son of Jesus Christ, we are able to see everything in light of the cornerstone, his winning victory. Are you seeing with the eyes of God's steadfast love? Looking under the inspiration of two of my children here, and each of them had to be teachers in my life. At times, each of them, as little children, would have to come to me and put my face between their little hands and to say, "Now listen, Dad, listen, I want to tell you something. Don't be studying. Don't be answering that telephone. Don't be working on that something else. I want your attention right now." Wow. That full awareness then is to set down whatever else was going on that was coming across as being primary, but it was secondary compared to the conversation that I was to have. Paying attention. What problems will do is they will divert our attention from the goodness of God and the eternal victory of Jesus Christ, the message of God's presence stirring in our midst, that problems will try to capture our soul and captivate our attention and be in control, because they are in control if they have won their own D-Day invasion into our life. But if we respond with the response system of God's delivery system, then we have given the antibiotic. We have created the immunization system through our faith to be able to defeat what it is that is seeking to take us down from the inside out. And so the word of the psalmist is putting his hands around the face of Israel and says, now all the people, now pay attention. because God's love endures forever. Aaron, the priestly class, pay attention as you're leading in worship and you're serving to deliver God's love to our hurting people with the hope and the promise. Pay attention because his steadfast love endures forever. For those who fear the Lord, which means reverence and awe and wonder. That's what the fear means here. It's not a fear like, oh no, God. It's a fear of because you are God, I revere you. I mean, feeling the awe of your presence, and I honor you, and therefore I will give you praise. Three times it gives the description of how we may take in his steadfast love. Are you paying attention as we begin the summer of 2019? Let it be 1,000 days of a great adventure of great joy, so that when we arrive at Labor Day at the close of the summer of 2019, as school ends for our students and begins again for next year, that in this 100 days, we will be a people so shaped by the enduring love of God that reveals his steadfast goodness that we have used our time well by seeing him more clearly for who he really is. Earlier in the 20th century, there was a diver off one of the islands in the Philippines. And in his diving, he brought up something. He wasn't sure what it was. He thought maybe it was a huge pearl, but he had never seen a pearl like this before. It's a clam, a pearl. And so he put it under his bed for about 10 years. It's just kind of a special treasure, kind of a good luck piece. And so he was approaching his own death. He gave it to his community. And his community realized this was something unique, and so not knowing a value beyond what they could see with their own eyes, then they kind of created a treasure with it and gave it a name. And then there was someone else who came to their island who realized what it was, and so paid a lot of money and bought it from the community, who also did an act of service and won the respect of the community. And then it ended up in San Francisco, and now it's in Colorado Springs. But people aren't really sure about the value of this clam pearl. Some say it's worth $400,000. Others have said it's worth $93 million. So which is it? What is the value that we give to it? We know in our own lives that we don't know really the value of something until you put it in the marketplace, until you put it up there and to say, okay, what will this bear and what will this bring? God's love has the value of eternity. There should be no question within our eyes of life to be able to see the value of the goodness of God. We look in a world that distorts the best of what our God wants to provide. And so when God comes with his goodness and his steadfast love, as we pay attention, we're able to say to the rest of the world, this is priceless. This gift is priceless. Well, the psalmist is just getting started. That's how he opens up with his word description about faith. And then he moves into a description time and again about the tough circumstances that he's living in the midst of in verses 5 through 20. And he lays it out that in the midst of all of that's unfolding, there's a trust in God to know his strength, that the world can push us to the edge but not over the cliff, in whom do you trust? That life will seek to grab us and control us by the problems that we are facing, pushing us over that edge. But then God says, I want you to know that my strength can be your strength. El Shaddai is the word of God's great right hand. The psalmist put it this way in verses 13 and 14. The Lord is our refuge and strength. It means he's a place that we may gather our senses. Our heart can catch up with itself. Our mind can move through the fear that's been pulsating through us. And then we collect ourselves and begin to think clearly in light of him. And then we feel the strength, like Paul would say to the church in Philippi, that most loved verse, I can do all things through Christ who, what? Strengthens me. The kind of strength that God provides is an ever-present strength. He helps us then that when we feel like we're backpedaling, and we don't know where we're going to fall over, but we know we got to fall sometime soon because you can't keep backpedaling. The Lord steadies us and allows us to be steadfast. That's again what Paul was saying after the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, when he's given this long description of the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he says, because all this is true, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know the labor, your life effort in the Lord is never in vain.
Amen.
Wow. 70th anniversary of Trinity Baptist Church. Way to go, and thank you. For those who've been a part of that whole journey and others of us who've joined along the way, for those who are stepping in with curiosity of what God is doing among the gospel work and the life of Trinity in San Antonio regions and around the world, welcome into this grand experiment, this great adventure. Last Sunday's issue of the San Antonio Express News carried a feature article announcing our 70th anniversary on one page. And the next page, it had a description about the drop in church membership across the nation. It had a description of the forces that are competing against this gospel message in the how to create community in our world. And we're moving against the headwinds of our day, where it's harder and harder to form the sense of community in a society that's organized around disunity. That's organized around, if you don't agree with me, you can't be my friend. If you don't agree with me, I'm not going to sit next to you. And yet Jesus is the one who embodied what it meant to bring together the various perspectives in a diversity to form a unity of a community. And oh yes, we remember it got him killed on the cross.
Right.
That's not an American way to roll out the red carpet. And yet it is the way to change the world. That the movement of what we're providing in the life of one, be a part of Trinity and you will grow in love, be a part of Trinity and you'll grow spiritually, be a part of Trinity and you will grow in friendships and community, and be a part of Trinity and that you will grow in using your spiritual gifts, your talents, and world-changing ministry.
Amen.
These promises, what we hunger to shape our life. And it requires for us then to be able to trust God in a steadfastness in light of his eternal promise. These are good days in which we live, but these are the challenging days of our time. And God not only is just big enough for them, he is bigger than them. And wants us to rise up with his strength, to be able to shine his promise for this time in which we live. That's why it's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be this follower of Christ. It's a good time to be in the life of Trinity moving forward. Here's what's true. It wraps it up with this. That when in the end, God does, God wins in the end, and you can too. Janita Evans is giving permission to tell a story. That when her husband, in the midst of the Vietnam War, was shot down over Laos, he became a prisoner of war. He was missioning in action. She didn't know what had happened to her husband. Months went by. Years went by. And in 1974, she made a trip to Thailand, wanting to get into Laos to try to get the location where her husband was last known. It was chaotic. The end of the Vietnam War. Tried as she could, there were all kinds of refugees coming out of Laos, part of Thailand. She couldn't get in, and she couldn't get in, and she couldn't get in. So what did Jonita do? Jonita became a servant. She began to work and teach and serve in the refugee camps of Thailand. And all the while she's praying the prayer, she's praying these promises of God in her life, all the while she's taking her hurting heart, she's giving her hurting heart to the living presence of God. And though she never got to the location that she has wanted to see, she knew that the destiny of her reason for her journey had found a healing completion. She could return back to San Antonio with a heart that had found a peace. God wins in the end. The ways that he brings his victory may look differently than what we first thought, but he always has the open tomb, the empty power of the resurrection. So in this section of the Psalms, three famous scriptures are used, quoted in the New Testament. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. by which the building cannot stand, by the very stone that people first did not see, Jesus looks on the hearts of people and chooses the willing person. That is the one who's willing to trust in him, that can receive his strength, and then we become his cornerstone in our world. The power of the Christ that Jonathan led us in seeing out of Ephesians 2:20, that is on the cornerstone of our building. That's where we are, God's cornerstone people in our 70th anniversary. And then Hosanna, that one word prayer of God save us, God redeem us, that is this word of Hosanna, again said about Jesus when he entered to Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, this entering the last week of his life on earth. It was a prayer quoted out of Psalm 118, Hosanna. And the word is that we may pray that when we don't know what else to pray, you can always pray, Hosanna, Hosanna. We normally think of Hosanna as the word of feel-good praise, and it is a feel-good praise, but it's also the kind of praise of God, thank you that you are you, and you are the one and only in whom I find my strength and my direction and my rest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is what was said of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem on this last week of his life on earth, and that procession of the Son of God, the Messiah's mission, accomplishing its purpose. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he has entered into world history in such a way that people may say of you and me, blessed is the Lord who has come in the name of the Lord. And as you walk in the ways of the Lord, blessed are you as you show the way of the Messiah into our world. That's the pathway that we may take, this blessing of God in our life purpose. Into the way of the Lord. Will you? Do you? Know that you win in the end? For the beginning, like the first day of creation when God saw that it was good, so it is at the end time, God too will say that it is good. And so verse 29 matches that of verse 1 when the psalmist offered this prayer together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray. The future is yours, O Lord. Your steadfast love steadies us. Your goodness is our strength. Your presence is the power of your promise. As we come to this invitation, by Christ, amen. Yes to Jesus Christ, baptisms. The sense of a new faith in Christ, writing a spiritual history, letting our life be updated in light of the one who is the creator of time, the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus, accepting our need for his grace, believing in him as the Son of God, committing our life to follow him forever. It's the adventure of all eternity. This is a time to be able to say yes to Christ. It's a time to be able to say yes. Yes, of joining into this faith family of Trinity Baptist Church, to be among the people who call out, thanks be to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Or that you may like to pray, come here in the steps and kneel and pray as we sing. Christopher will be up here in the front with me to receive your responses. Let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.